The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today, we are so happy to be joined by one of my very best friends, Whitney. Thank you for coming on, Whitney.
Yay. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes. Oh, gosh. We're so excited to have you because we've been talking a lot about soccer, and Samantha had done this episode on it and was like, I wish we had someone we could bring on to talk about it. And I was like, well, I have kind of the person. That right. would be good, I think.
A casual aficionado, if you will.
I love it. Because we were talking about the fact that neither one of us had really watched it. And Annie's like, well, I did watch a little bit of it. And it was really fun because of, and I'm like, but she, I'm like, why isn't she on? Let's have a conversation because we need to know what's going on. And I know nothing that has happened except that we're at the end of it now. Yeah?
Yes, it has concluded.
The World Cup for the women. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, who won?
Who won? Oh,
Spain.
For the first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Really? This is their first?
Yes, we will talk about because some things have happened around that. But originally you were going to come on earlier, but then there was some schedule upsets and then some like upsets in the World Cup. And I was like, maybe we'll give Whitney a little time, which we'll also talk about.
First I was physically unwell, then I was emotionally unwell. And so here we are.
That's understandable. I get that.
That is though, like when you care and you are like really rooting for something, and then I've just seen so many people have come into sports later in life, like really liking sports later in life, and they're like, why do we do this to ourselves?
It's torture. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about the World Cup and women in soccer and all of that. But before we get into that, I did want to talk about how Whitney and I know each other. We met when we were in middle school, and we were both extremely competitive. With each other specifically.
Oh, no.
I love that you have that, because I actually have that in my notes as something I wanted to talk about.
Yes. Because that was like, it didn't matter how good we were at the sport. We would be like, I'm going to win this.
Or bad.
Bad. Terrible. And there were some injuries that were had in our,
oh my God,
our conflicts.
Because of each other?
I wouldn't say because of each other, but okay. Because we were so competitive with each other.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure, didn't you sprain your ankle when we were playing volleyball?
I did. I was going to ask you, I couldn't remember if it was volleyball or basketball, but Annie and I had PE and health together our freshman year of high school. And that's kind of when we first became really close. I kind of grew up in a sheltered, conservative Christian family, and I didn't have a lot of access to popular music or movies or books. And Annie was like, you haven't seen what? You haven't read what? I will show you the error of your ways. And she kind of opened my mind to a lot of that.
And a sprained ankle.
But specifically what she's talking about, I played soccer in high school and we had a game that day. And during PE class, I believe we were playing volleyball. I don't remember the exact incident itself, but I was quite mad because I injured myself right before our game. And I blamed Annie Reese, even though it's probably my own fault and had nothing to do with her. It happens.
Well, I remember.
Not let it go.
And then I injured myself playing basketball. I was the one that hurt myself playing basketball because I did a like running dive for the ball. And then I just slid on the floor across and got a lot of chafing. Yeah. Yeah. So,
was there a guy? Were we like guys and girls on that day? And we like,
Oh yeah. And we were trying to show up this one guy who was a real jerk.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, who so, was like, girls like can't play this. And we were like, yes, they can. And then I slid across the floor. Right.
Did you win at least? Did your team win?
I think we did. I think.
Who knows?
I feel like we did. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to rewrite history.
You're going to claim it?
Yeah. That guy was a jerk. So he doesn't get to, even if he did win, he lost.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. But you were definitely someone, because I was very insecure. I was very insecure about my abilities and about my body. And you were definitely someone who I just enjoyed playing with. Like all of that kind of faded away. And it was just like, this is my friend and this is really fun and this is really competitive and I want to win. And when I didn't win, I might be mad, but like not really mad.
Right. Not really.
Yeah, so it was a really, you're one of my good friends who I was able to do that with. Because a lot of our friends didn't like sports. So it was really cool. And a lot of my memories, I do have fond memories of that. And you were someone who I knew, like, really loved soccer. And so can you talk a little bit about how you got into it, any memories you have around it, why is it so important to you?
So as a little kid, I played just a variety of sports. I think my parents signed me up for t-ball. I played softball at one point. I was on a swim team and I played soccer. I honestly couldn't tell you what age I started playing soccer, but there came a point when my parents said, okay, you have to choose one sport. I think I was about 10 or so, and I chose soccer, I think because at the time, it felt like the toughest women's sport I could play. Like, it was the most physical game. I really enjoyed it. I don't know that I was any good, but I really loved playing it. And I kept up with it. I ended up playing in high school on our high school's team. I wasn't good enough to play college or anything like that, but I've still followed it. You know, specifically the women's team throughout the years. Yeah.
Yeah. And you are someone when you, I know, like anytime a big soccer thing comes up in women's soccer specifically, I know like, okay, I could go to Whitney and Whitney can explain these things. And I know that you have all of these memories with it, which is part of why you're here. So, the hazard of being a fan of things and my friend. but yeah, do you have any specific memories that just really stand out in terms of how this solidified as something that you really love?
Yeah. So in 1999, I was not quite 10 years old. Just about. And the US women's team were playing in the World Cup. They were playing in the finals against China. And I was the only person in my family that cared about soccer. But we were visiting my grandmother and I was at her house. And somehow I was able to get the game to broadcast on her tiny little television. And I sat in the den and watched it by myself and was cheering. But of course, I remember the iconic moment where Brandi Chastain scored that iconic PK and then took her jersey off, which then you could see her sports bra. And I remember it being a very scandalous thing at the time for a woman to expose herself on national television, even though people run around with sports bras and go to the beach with bikinis, but this was scandalous. But it was just an exciting time. Mia Hamm was really big at that time too. And she had this commercial with Michael Jordan where they were competing with each other and they sang that song, Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
It was also coming off the tail of the 96 Olympics and the U.S. women's Olympic gymnastics team. It was just the 90s was a great time in women's sports. But
yeah. I mean, I remember that being that clip of Mia Hamm being put in Bend It Like Beckham. And yeah. that significance even like translated all over the world and how big that was. And that kind of cemented U.S. women's soccer because they're like, no, you legitimately can play there. And they're actually celebrated, which from our perspective, they really weren't celebrated as much as they should have been. Right. But the fact that they still made it that big, that it went into like international films, and you're like, wow, okay, look at this. They are like leaders of this amazing thing that should have been happening a long time ago. But I remember that being such a distinct moment and an accomplishment for the U.S.
Definitely. They dominated the early years and they came out and they showed the world really that, you know, we're women, we're here, we can play and we're entertaining. People like to watch us. So watch out.
I have to ask, who is your favorite player then? Who would you call as your person?
So... I can't answer that.
Oh, no.
There's too many.
Can you give a top three?
I really like Abby Wambach. She was epic in the early 2010s. There's this really cool picture that's circulating on the internet that has a picture of Sophia Smith, who is a current U.S. women's national player. She's like one of the youngest. She's 22. And it's a picture of her with Abby Wambach. And she's like 7 years old.
Oh.
And so it's so cool to see that, you know, she had her as an icon growing up and then went on to become, you know, a household name herself and the future of women's soccer. I love Tobin Heath and Kristen Press. They have their own clothing and philanthropy kind of company that they have called Re-Ink. They're super cool. I love them both. Of course, who doesn't love Megan Rapinoe and all that she stands for?
Right.
I don't know. I could talk about all of them. They're just so great, all of them. I'm just a fangirl.
Which is even better.
I love it. Yes. And we have been talking about a lot the history of women's soccer and how it didn't get the same attention and the fight for equal pay when, you know... and even like just viewership opportunities or equipment or things like that. So I think a lot of times people forget, or they don't forget, or maybe they just don't think about it. But when you think about all that's going on in women's soccer, it is so many things that women are fighting for outside of that realm. Because I feel like, too, for a long time, especially in the U.S., where soccer wasn't as big as it is in other places, it was just sort of assumed, like, it's just the men's team. It's not a women's team. Women don't really do that.
Right.
Yeah. And so that is changing. That is changing. And I feel that, in part because of the work of these players, some of the ones you're mentioning have really brought these issues to light, and it has grown in popularity, which brings us, I think, to this most recent World Cup. Today is August 24th, 2023. It is my birthday, just in case.
It is your birthday, y'all.
Yeah, because this is a recent event, so if you're listening to it, things may change. And yeah, we're just having a conversation about it, but we are largely depending on you, Whitney, because Samantha and I watch games with you and I've read some news. I've seen some, you know, social media posts about it, but I think that's the extent of our knowledge. So all right. If you could break it down for us, give us some of the ups and downs of this World Cup.
So the World Cup itself is about a month-long event. This year, it was co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. So they had games in both countries. And the way it starts out is there are, I don't remember how many groups, but there's a group stage and elimination stage. Each group has four teams that are selected or decided upon by the FIFA higher-ups. I don't know what they're called. But in the group stage, each team has to play every other team in their group once. And the top two from each group move on to the elimination stage. The United States has always made it to the elimination stage. This was the first time in World Cup history that that was questioned. So that's kind of a big deal. What's cool, though, is there are also, this was the first year it was expanded to include 32 teams. And a lot of people were skeptical because the United States has such a history of dominating the Women's World Cup. They're like, it's not going to be a competition. It's not going to be interesting. People aren't going to want to watch it. We saw quite a few upsets this year. In fact, there were three African nations that made it to the elimination stage for the first time in history. South Africa, Nigeria, and Morocco, which was super cool. So what I think that says is that the sport itself is growing. The ripple effects of the success of the United States and have spread throughout. And so these programs are getting more money and they're being more developed and it is becoming more competitive, which is a good thing. We want it to be more competitive, right? So some big names in world soccer, Brazil and Canada. Canada is the reigning Olympic champion. Both Brazil and Canada were knocked out in the group stage, which means they didn't even make it to the elimination stage, which is a pretty big deal. Those were pretty big upsets. As for the U.S., if you've seen the news, if you've seen the heartbreak, we were knocked out in the very first round of the group stage due to PKs. So it went to PKs, meaning PKs is penalty kicks, which means it went full time, which is 90 minutes, plus another overtime, which is 215 minutes. So 120 minutes. And then it came down to them squaring off each other, goalie versus one person. So it's really a cruel way to lose, if you think about it, because it's just like, it's painful.
Oh, it's kind of that final moment in any kind of sports drama. And you're like, ah. Sorry to bring it up again.
No, it's fine. And there's some heartbreak too in that. The expectation was there because, you know, we were the winners of the last two World Cups. So everybody wants to see a three-peat. Everyone wants the three-peat. But in reality, we have a much younger team. Our players that were the stars of previous World Cups are getting up there in age. They're injured. You know, it's not saying it's time for them to move on, but it's like, it's a transition period for the United States. And I think them getting knocked out is not a negative thing per se. I think it just shows how much the rest of the world has come to be at the table. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, with a growing sport like this, things are changing. And then also, it makes it more exciting to see the upset.
Exactly.
Like, I know with different teams that won for the first time, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. You love seeing them being put on a map. And like everybody who thought they would be underdogs coming on top or knocking out some of the biggest teams, even though it hurts. It's still fun to watch to see that opportunity for other teams and countries to be able to show we can get this done.
Absolutely.
Still sad though.
Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
One of my favorite moments in this tournament for the U.S. women's national team was the U.S. versus the Netherlands game, which was the last game of the group stage. And it was 0-0 for a long time. And this was a really critical game because basically the U.S. had to at least either draw or win in order to advance, in order to be in the top to move to the elimination stage. So it was a really critical game for them. And there were two players that are actually teammates outside of the World Cup stage, Lindsey Horan and Van de Donk. I don't remember her name. She plays for the Netherlands. They both play for Lyon. And there was an incident where Van de Donk basically hip-checked the crap out of Lindsey Horan. There was no malice involved, but it was really rough. And Lindsey was pissed. And there was a little bit of a scuffle between the two, you could say. There might have been a shove there. And the ref had to be like, okay, ladies, let's chill out. And immediately after that, the U.S. had a corner kick, off of which Lindsey Horan scored with a header. And it was just so satisfying to see her exact her revenge on her teammates / frenemy in that moment. But the most beautiful thing was at the very end, you saw the two players come together and they talked and they laughed and they hugged it out. So it's like, we can be fierce, we can be competitors, but at the end of the day, we're friends. And, you know, we're glad to be in this experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like you and me.
That's right.
It's like you and me.
I was going to say, it's the two of you yelling at each other.
Who's Horan and who's Van de Donk? That's what I want to know. I'm definitely Horan.
I think it changed. I think it changed based on the day. But I know you had other highlights, right?
Yeah. Not specifically like a scoring moment, but something I thought was really cool, going back to like the players using their platforms for good. Naomi Girma, she is a bad A defender that played for Stanford and was Rookie of the Year and Defender of the Year her first year in the NWSL. So I don't know if you guys remember, but Katie Meyer was a player at Stanford that tragically took her own life. under questionable circumstances that had to deal with some disciplinary action at the university. But she was one of Naomi Girma's teammates and one of her best friends. And so as part of her playing in this World Cup, Naomi Girma teamed up with some of the other players on the U.S. women's team to promote talking about mental health and being open and vulnerable. So as part of that, Naomi Girma dedicated her playing in this World Cup to one of her best friends, Katie Meyer, and teamed up with the rest of the national team and Common Goal to ensure that we have these mental health conversations and that it is a focus, especially in the sports world where it can be incredibly competitive and there's a lot of pressure and you're expected to be perfect. You're expected to be on all of the time. If you make any mistakes, there's a lot of hatred. There's, you know, anyone can be a bully on the internet. So I thought that was really awesome that she dedicated this World Cup to her fallen comrade and used it, her platform, to promote a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. Like, people are so invested in things like this and they want their team to win. So I think any perceived mistake, it's like really targeted, like, oh, you ruined it. Now we won't win because of something you did. I can only imagine the pressure of something like that. And we've had a lot of conversations about that recently, about the real pressure put on these athletes, especially like younger athletes and women athletes, of you have to be so good, like so perfect, and the detriment to their mental health and their physical health, honestly.
Right. And we know that in general, even if they are perfect, they're going to be whatever else, whether it's looks or family or school, or it doesn't matter. The level of scrutiny, especially women in the sports, especially any marginalized person in sports that is actually doing well, will get, like, either way. And even more so if you don't perform to the level that they expect you to, which is hilarious, because when we talk about like Simone Biles, who is like champion and gold medal after gold medal, they still criticize her for everything and anything. And she's become a political pawn somehow. We see like her name being brought up, but the women's soccer, we know that that's been an issue as well, because they've been used as political pawns and political platforms and conversations about why they don't deserve as much and the amount of like ridicule they get. So the pressure in itself, just trying to live and do something you love, is so overwhelming. And then we know that when it comes to mental health, that's the first thing people want to ignore. And then to see things like that when things do fall apart, or when things go tragically wrong, and having to use your voice, and why it's so important that does happen. And it's unfortunate that she has to carry that on for herself going through something so horrible. But the fact that she's willing to do it is an amazing thing, amazing amount of love and support. Sportsmanship in itself to do that is incredible. But it needs to be talked about way more, because I cannot believe that we're not having this bigger conversation about the needs of taking care of our athletes who represent us.
I think that's one of the coolest things about watching the U.S. women's team, is how many of them use their platform for good to try and raise awareness about a variety of social justice issues. And, you know, I applaud them for their bravery, especially in this current political climate. There's been a lot of backlash. There's been a lot of conservatives that have mocked them for losing and for being eliminated so early. And I'm sorry, but that's messed up. And they're still world-class athletes, and you want to use them as, you know, a pawn in your political game. And they're not stepping down. You know, they still stand for what they believe in, and then they say what you want to say, but we should be proud of them.
Yes.
Something that's crazy that some people may not know is that women participating in the, specifically a FIFA World Cup, is a fairly recent event that's happened. The first Women's Cup was held in 1991. So for those of you that math 30-something years ago, right? Whereas the first men's FIFA World Cup was in 1930. So that's 60-plus years of women not being represented in a game that they played globally, but weren't giving the platform or the airtime.
Or the credit.
To see how far they've come and how big they've blown up in 30 years, it's pretty impressive.
Right. The amount of money they were making in itself.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother...
Which is what we know is why they decided to go ahead and be like, okay, maybe we're going to do a World Cup for women now. Which is whatever. But yeah, have you heard of that Copa 71 documentary?
I have not.
So we had kind of mentioned it in a past... Because I was trying to get into the soccer stuff. I was like, oh, we're going to bring on Whitney. I don't have to do this. Yay. Which I know very little about. But we did want to talk about that. There was a documentary that just came out like recently about one of the World Cups that was hosted. Not a World Cup, but a championship, I guess, that was actually hosted in 71. And how much money they brought in at that point. It was all women. And they had to go and search down all of this like record and film and talk to the individual players because it was all women. They made up probably more money than the men that year for sure, and like brought in just as big as a crowd as the World Cup that year. And like it's an amazing documentary, but you need to watch it. I think it's going to be released soon.
It's essentially a World Cup that predates the FIFA World Cup, like the official.
Yeah, so it only had like 8 or 10 teams in
Not
general.
As many. Yeah. Countries participating.
Right? Yeah. But it was still apparently such a big deal. And they still waited another 25 years or 20 years to do it. Mm-hmm. Like they saw how much money it could make and they're like, nah, we're good. And they try to erase it actually. That's how scared of women they are.
Yeah.
Growing up, when I would try to watch any sport, so all of my family, I grew up with 3 brothers. So I was the only girl for the longest time. And sports were on TV all the time. Anytime I changed the channel and wanted to watch a women's sport, specifically women's basketball or women's soccer, my dad would joke, and because he knew it would, you know, he could get a rise out of me and be like, oh man, I'd rather watch paint dry or rather, you know, cut leaves. Yeah, and he thought he was being funny, but like, it's kind of true. Like that was the attitude towards watching women's sports on television at that time. And kind of is for some people still, which is
right.
Terrible.
Even still.
Reality.
Yeah. It's really frustrating because it's always like the second. It's like the men's, they go first.
Right.
And then the women in terms of like airtime or just even events, they're seen as secondary, which I do think women's soccer really shone a light on like, well, why though? Because... I'm not doing so well.
Right, let's take a look at the U.S. men's national team,
right.
Shall we? Shall we? Shall we?
Anyway, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, but something else you mentioned, because when I first approached you about this, I was like, would you like to talk about it? And then you had all of these things and it was amazing. I was like, this is the best. But something else you mentioned was kind of how queer this World Cup was, but also... the kind of backlash against that, especially with like the armbands and the banning of the like the pride armbands, I guess. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So I think this originated from a ruling that occurred in the Men's World Cup last year in Qatar because it's a primarily Islamic nation. There was some dispute between FIFA, the organization, and the host country themselves. And the compromise they came to is that they, you know, we used to have pride armbands for the captains that would just be a rainbow, just a rainbow armband. Doesn't mean anything. Just, hey, this is a rainbow armband. And those were banned from wear during the play as kind of like a compromise for them to be able to host in the country, which is really unfortunate. But that ruling hasn't changed. And so for the Women's Cup, they also haven't been able to wear the pride armbands, even though there's a tremendous amount of queer women in this World Cup. So some things that people have done, one of my favorite players, Ali Riley, she's actually from New Zealand, but she plays here in the US. She painted her nails On one hand, she painted them rainbow. And then on the other hand, she did pink, blue, and white for the transgender flag. So I thought it was super cool. Just a little subtle, like, F you, we're still going to, you know, mm-hmm. still going to represent yeah. and be an ally, you know. It's really cool. But yeah, I'm not going to lie. Most of the information that I get on the World Cup comes from my Instagram feed, and which is about 50% soccer at this point, my algorithm, 45% of which is gay. But
you know what? My content came in that way too. I kept getting like all the queer updates, and I'm like, what's happening? Which I'm not mad about, but I'm very confused. But I'm like, okay, well, I like, this is the content I would want.
Right. So I stumbled upon an article that said that this was the queerest World Cup in history. And specifically that there are 96 out LGBTQ athletes in this World Cup, which roughly translates to about 13% of the entire player population, which is awesome. And what's awesome is that obviously this has been the case forever, but now we have people that are comfortable, brave enough to be open about it and, you know, like take ownership of their identity and who they are. We have our first out trans non-binary player, Quinn, who plays for Canada. Super cool to see that. And just going back to these women using their platform to create representation, like to provide that representation that we have been needing for a century, you know?
True. Yeah. I loved all the watching clips of everybody hugging each other, finding each other's partners and like celebrating together. It was beautiful to see the fashion in itself. Everybody, like, oh, yeah. That was one of the number one things
Did
that I would
see.
Suits? Yes, the suits. I was like,
their
well, there it is.
Suits?
Yes, I get it.
Heck
because
yeah.
for some reason, again,
you don't need
also,
no dress.
My TikTok is very telling. I'm like, I'm not as queer, but okay. Yeah, okay. Y'all just keep feeding me this because it looks good on them. They look good.
You're queer adjacent. That's what you
Apparently, like. Very so much so. I was like, oh, I love all of this.
Not a bad thing.
No, great. I love it. I'm like, keep me on. This is a safer space for me. I like this. And the suits were killing it. They were killing it. I was like, yeah, okay. I like that. Made me rethink my wardrobe.
I'm
telling you, they look good.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Well, speaking of, I did have a couple of things that I wanted to mention that I've seen. One is I saw this headline that was talking about this pushback against white shorts in the Women's World Cup. And I was like, huh, why? And then when I read it, I was like, oh, yeah, obviously, because periods. It's like not something you want to think about, not a comfortable thing. But it just never occurred to me. I literally was like, what could it be?
Dress stains, obviously. Like,
just like
or if it rains, underwear outlines. White shorts are just a bad idea for all people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of funny because at the same time, yes, we want to, let's just be comfortable. Why can't they just be comfortable? Why can't they be reasonable? But like, hey, don't complain when periods happen. It exists and you need to understand that these women are playing under some of the most awful situations, and periods would be one of those situations. Like, we should pay them more just for doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly. You're welcome.
Yes.
You have a uterus that bleeds, more money.
Right, right. Or you have to suffer through this and y'all should pay me.
Absolutely.
Well, that's one of the, we've had so many conversations about this. I mean, speaking of things that are shockingly recent, but I mean, when it comes to women's uniforms and how sexist it is, like we went over in the Olympics, the requirements for like, the handball team and the volleyball team, that just so different than what it is for men. So I thought that was interesting that that's another piece of this conversation. And then I wanted to talk about something that happened recently that was not good. But before we do that, a segue, Spain won.
Yay.
The World Cup, right, Whitney?
Yes.
It's the first time. Congratulations. Like, so I hate that we have to talk about what we have to talk about next, but like, congratulations. But there's been a lot of controversy because, first of all, some of the players like refused to play under the men that were running it, the Spanish organization and the coach. And then the guy who is president of the organization there, he kissed one of the players forcibly in front of cameras.
Yep.
And she then is in a very strange place where she's like, I didn't want it. I don't know what to do about it. Like, can we forget about it? But he also really made it about himself and the male coach. Like, he really, really did. And it infuriates me because they did this thing. They won for the first time. Like, that should be the conversation we're having. And instead, it's like, this guy felt like he could kiss this woman in public, in front of everybody, in front of cameras. And then was like, it's thanks to the male coach, really, that this happened. So it's just like really frustrating. And I know some of the other players have spoken out from like the US team and been like, this is the misogyny of it, that they think it's their space and that this is just a body that they can do whatever they want to. And it took me down I read this whole article about like the history of men publicly kissing women against their will and like very like on TV, like, and it them being like, oh, well, it was the moment, or you weren't there, you didn't feel the emotion and all of this stuff. But like, you're just that's not acceptable. That's just not acceptable.
100% unacceptable. I have to say that, so I did watch the incident that you're talking about. It happened during the medal ceremony after the game concluded. And so all the players walked across the stage. The Queen of Spain was there, as well as her daughter, and they all congratulated them. Most of them did hug. And as in Spanish culture, they do kiss on either one or both cheeks. And so as I was watching that, seeing people kiss on the cheek, that didn't seem out of the ordinary to me. But then, like you said, when Hermoso went to hug him, he just laid one on her without her any, you know, permission whatsoever. And it's just 100% unprofessional, and it detracts from their moment, detracts from their celebration. Like, it marred their award ceremony that they've worked their lives for. Like, it's I'm sorry.
No, it is appropriate.
You know, and like, I didn't know any of this incident. I'm now looking it up, and I was like, oh, damn, what happened? And the comments in the section when it reports it, instead of saying, this is inappropriate, this is wrong, they're making every excuse for the dude as if that's okay. And that's the part that's like, no, this is part of the problem. When we see things like this happen, and immediately the first thing people want to do is defend the dude instead of saying, yeah, that's, at the very least saying, that seems inappropriate. Maybe he shouldn't have done that. Maybe they should have been like, this seems all kinds of wrong. Also, do they even know each other? So many questions that I would be like, what? Why? What? To this point of like everybody just defending it. Well, you don't know the culture. Like, people who were not from Spain saying we don't know culture was like, which is partially true, but why are you defending something that she has already made a statement saying this was unacceptable? Like, she's the one that said that.
She said, I didn't really want it. She said that.
Yeah. So that's where we should leave.
So there's no question about it. It was not.
Yeah.
But to get excusing him.
Right.
Which is that whole big problem. Like, okay, you don't see why this is a problem because we're talking about this, as Annie was saying, instead of the fact that they won and to celebrate that.
Yes. It infuriates me. This shouldn't be a thing. Like, they shouldn't. They should be just celebrating it. Instead, everyone's like mad at her and she's in this horrible place because she's like, well, what do I do? Being like, well, he was just in the moment, though, so it's fine. And
okay, that's scary then. Like, why do you think his automatic reaction should be to kiss someone? Like, that is a punch for me. Like, if you're touching me, in any weird way in general, a kiss, it's like a knee to the balls or something, because, like, that's your reaction? That's your instinct? Go on. That's my instinct.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is I went on the whole history of this. I was reading about it, and there were just so many instances of women saying, well, I froze because I felt like I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel safe. I knew he was like more power than me. But if you look at the picture, which it's unfortunate, but you can find it, it looks really aggressive. Like, it doesn't.
It does.
It's a very forceful, and she's just like still not reciprocating. Like, and then he went on and said, like, we're gonna go and get married. Like, he didn't like let up. And then I think President of Spain, Prime Minister of Spain, he was like, this apology is not enough. Like, it's become this whole thing when they should just be allowed to f-ing celebrate without a man coming in.
Right.
100%, which is why also I was happy that the Queen of Spain was there, not the King. I was like, yes, this. And all of their interactions were totally appropriate. There was no weirdness there.
But this is the part, it's like, for the star player, this is the moment that's pictured everywhere. Yes. This would piss me off. That's the picture.
Absolutely.
That's the picture that people are going to remember. Why?
And Jenny Hermoso is one of them, like, the best players in the world, bar none. So the fact that she even has to be associated with that instead of her accomplishments as a soccer player, that sucks.
Yeah. And that was the psychology I was reading behind it, was it's always like, let me make this celebration about me. Let me make sure when men do it, it's like, let me make sure I am showing, like, I am the dominant person here. And
the way he aggressively grabs her head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does suck. I hate that. I hate it.
Well, did you actually read the statement that he makes as the apology? Now that I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, he's an asshole. Like, just straightforward. Like, it says, I have to apologize. There's no other option, right? He says in the video, and furthermore, learn from this and understand that when you are president of an institution as important as the Federation, you have to be more careful, especially in ceremony. So all of that was like, no, so you don't understand. And even if it wasn't a ceremony,
right? Especially,
that's wrong. Like, what? Do you do this on the daily? If that's the questions, then we need a lot of questions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said,
that's assault.
Like I said, I believe it was 13 to 15 players like refused to play under him until they like made changes. So you're probably spot on, Samantha. I'm sure he is a complete douche. He's done this before,
like
with cameras not there.
Well, I'm questioning if there's going to be like a Me Too through that organization, because that's heavy-handedly like obvious that he thinks he has that right.
Yep.
So what does that mean?
Yep.
Ooh. Congratulations.
I know, really, honestly, like, good job. It's amazing. I hate it. I really hate it. He did this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to, I knew we had to talk about that.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
But I guess, is there like a high note? Or is there something we can end on a high note, Whitney? Is there anything you're looking forward to? Any other, I don't know, happier thing that we can end on?
This is not like an actual soccer moment. It's just a moment that happened on the internet, really. When the U.S. was eliminated, like I said, there was tons of backlash, even from former U.S. women's players, i.e. Carly Lloyd, who's now an announcer, and, you know, talked about how this team was, the culture was different from when she was a player, and that the work ethic wasn't there. And she made disparaging remarks about Rapinoe smiling after she missed her final PK of her career, essentially. And I think what was inspiring to me was to see all of the actual team members come back and use their platforms to say, hey, we're here. We know this is what your expectation was, but don't you dare say we don't work hard. You know, some people laugh when they're sad and uncomfortable. So, like, you want us to smile, you don't want us to smile. Which one is it? Make up your mind. But they were there for each other as a team, and they, you know, their cohesiveness and their willingness to stand up for themselves and each other, I think that that's the big takeaway from this, is just the representation and these beautiful humans using their platform for good. You know, the haters.
Yeah,
exactly. Them haters. But also unity. I love to see that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And going back to what you said, I love that for younger people who maybe are, you know, you trying to watch women's sports as a child and getting kind of made fun of for it. Like maybe that's shifting and being able to see this and being inspired by it. Whether that is just finding your friend that you're competitive with and have fun with, or going up to the national, international level or whatever it is. Like, I think a lot of times when we say inspired, it feels like you have to be like the best star ever, but it could really be like you just, oh, maybe I want to go play that. And then you make friends through that. And then something happens through that. I think that's really powerful. And I think that having these people to watch and to look up to and seeing how they are unified and have each other's backs and how they have these platforms and what they're standing for, like, that is really powerful. And they really, like, they really have been vocal about like equal pay, about queer rights, and about mental health, like all of these things they really have. And so I think that's hugely important too. So yeah, good things.
There are good things.
There are. Perhaps Whitney and I shall have a rematch of I don't know what sport.
Name the time and place.
I was going to say, you have yet to say which sport y'all are really competitive in, other than where you got, when you got injured.
Everyone!
This is one of the things, like when you do your yearly trip to the beach, yes, and then have your Olympics, which
yes. Do the people know the Olympics? I just want you to know I won the most gold medals in that.
Whitney
Olympics.
Did. She defeated me.
Olympics.
Whoops.
Not to toot my own horn. I also would like it to be on record that I once beat Annie at Star Wars Scene It.
Oh.
And we don't need to go into that any further.
No, I've heard of this. Infamous moment.
How dare you? How was I supposed to know that was Jabba the Hutt?
And yet.
For those of you that don't know me, Annie's Star Wars knowledge is far surpasses mine. So it was just a very triumphant moment.
It is a good moment.
I shall never let her down.
Clearly,
you should get a medal for that.
The loss.
I knew about it before I've met you, Whitney. So yes, she remembers.
It's in the story tales of the halls of Whitney and Annie's friendship. That
you need a plaque. You need a plaque or something for sure.
That's true. Definitely. That's true. I still have Star Wars Seen It. I don't know if I could stomach it again. But maybe
after losing so hard, she's just too bitter.
I like how you said so hard. I don't, whatever.
You lost, yeah. If you lose, yeah.
It was bad. It stuck with me. But I learned.
But and yet we remain friends.
And yet you're still friends.
That's good sports. Womanship.
So
yes.
Good sports. Yay, sports.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Whitney. This has been so fun.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed myself. Hopefully this was a good conversation. I think it was.
It was.
Oh, I think so. And I'm sure we'll have you back.
A lot.
You're our soccer expert. So anytime.
Now you are. Yes. Our Sminty soccer correspondent.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for coming on. Listeners, if you would like to contact us, you can, or email stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffMomNeverToldYou. We have a Tee Public store. We have a book. You can order it at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Steph on Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.